chapter 17. And as you turn there, and I get settled here, I don't know about you, but this was a fast year. Is it kind of echoey? Well, can you guys hear me okay? That's good. If it's good with you, it's good with me. All right. It went quick, I feel. Christmas is just around the corner. And I think, personally, I'm not very smart, but I think the reason why it went fast for me is because, you know, since 2020, March, we've been going through this endless, crazy pandemic. It's just so crazy. There's been 21 months since that March day where everything went down. So think about it. It's just kind of crazy. And, you know, as we come to a Thanksgiving season, it's kind of a different one. It could be that some of us may have been hurt by COVID. I know I was sick, and that wasn't pretty. Some of us, Lord, we hurt. We dealt with some pain. We're dealing with pain. And when you come to a Thanksgiving season, and you go like, man, sometimes it's hard to be thankful. And that's just real talk. So we're going to be looking at a guy this morning that had many reasons to be thankful. But with all that being said, I'm just thankful that we're here. Because a year ago, we weren't. A year ago, it was a video. And we're here, sitting in the same room. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for every face, health, that the Lord has kept us. So let's go to Luke 17. We're going to be starting in verse 11. It says, now it happened, this is talking about Jesus, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Verse 12. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. So now this is Jesus coming into Samaria and Galilee. Now, Samaritans and Jews did not get along at all. They were enemies. Okay, to put it in perspective. So he's coming into kind of like an area that he would not be so welcome. And it says here that as he entered a certain village, there were 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. Now, a leper would have to, by Levitical law, and this is Leviticus 13, 45 and 46, to be away from the people that were healthy. In fact, I'll read it to you. It says, now the leper of whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn and his head bare, and he shall cover his mustache and cry, unclean, unclean. He shall be unclean. All the days he has the sore, he shall be unclean. He is unclean, and he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. So Jesus is coming into a village. There's 10 men that are lepers. And it says here, rightfully, that they stood afar off. Why? Because they were not allowed to be near the people that were healthy. So if you want to talk about, you know, people that knew social distancing, lepers did. They were not allowed by society around them. That was a bad joke. Now you laugh. Now, leprosy, this is modern day, still around, very few places in the world. They call it Hansen's disease, and it's, you know, mentioned in the Bible 68 times, 55 times in the Old Testament, and 13 in the New Testament. It was an infection that would attack your skin, but also your nervous system. I researched this extensively, actually, and it says that it would destroy the nerves, the nerve endings that carry the pain signals. So, for example, if you were a leper and you smash your hand with a hammer, you'd be like, huh, I didn't feel anything at all. You could put your hand over the fire and nothing. See, no signals of pain are being sent to your brain saying, move away, you're getting hurt. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. But it's quite real sad because the nervous system will decay. Therefore, I saw some pictures. Don't look them up. They're bad. You will disfigure. Your limbs and everything will start disfiguring. Your nose will collapse. So all that to paint a picture of what these 10 men may have looked like. And they were far away from people. It numbs your pain. 13 says, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, notice that master is with a capital M, have mercy on us. Now, Jesus had already healed a leper after the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 8. And that occasion, Jesus actually touched the leper. Remember the story, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus says, I am willing, be clean. He touched them and he was healed. So I wonder if these 10 guys have heard that Jesus healed a leper before. And when they see him in the village, the 10 of them together, it's like, hey, Jesus, master, have mercy on us. Maybe like you did with the other guy. We've heard that you've healed one with the same condition as us. Have mercy. And they shout, they lifted their voice from afar off and say, hey, have mercy on us. They were hopeless. They were sick. They were dying. They were numb. They smelled. I read a few commentaries, and this is kind of gross, but you know, if you had leprosy, you know, you had no feeling. So rats could like literally eat like your fingers, and you wake up and it's like they're gone. Think about the state that these guys were in. What would cause them to see hope walking by from a distance and shout, hey, Jesus, please help us. And that could be us. In our own numbness, in our own sickness, in our own pain, where we say, Lord, have mercy on us. Help us. There's no doctor around here that can help me. Verse 14. So when he saw them, Jesus said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. Now, in Leviticus, I'll read to you, it says, Leviticus 14, 1 and 3, it says, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper. For the day of his cleansing, he shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall go out of the camp, and the priest shall examine him. So, by Jesus telling these 10 guys, can you take down the echo just a little bit? I feel like I'm in a bucket again. Sorry, Albert. There you go. By Jesus telling them, to go show yourselves to the priest. Oh, thank you. What he's telling them is, go do what you would do if you were healed. But we have no record that Jesus healed them. So he's telling them to do something. He's telling them to, hey, go and get checked out by the priest because you're healed. But see, if it was me, Raul, I'll be like, hold up, 1 second, stop. Let me quote your Bible to you, Jesus. Right? I'm supposed to be healed first before I go see the priest. I'm the practical guy. Wait a minute. Are we missing something here? I'll go. I'll go. But how am I supposed to be clean? I can't be around people. They don't go to the temple and find the priest. What's going on? Something's missing here. Jesus is asking them to obey him and take a step of faith. And it says that as they went, they were healed. They obey the Lord. And they were healed. Have you ever been prompted by the Spirit to do something? Or not do something? And then you start rationalizing like me. Well, really, Lord, are you really saying that I shouldn't go and do that? Now, let's think about this practically, Lord. This new boat, it's just going to be such a great ministry for all those people out on the water. I can ride this boat faster than they can. I can pray for them all at once with my hands. I can anoint that lake, Lord. This is why. If you have a boat, I'm not judging you. I'm just giving an example. If the Lord gave you a boat, awesome. Lord, but this motorcycle, see, I can go a lot faster than every car out there. Man, I can spread the love of Jesus all through the freeway. And the Lord is saying, no. See, we rationalize when we want to do our own thing. How about that relationship? The Lord says, no. Oh, how about that business partnership? And the Lord says, no. Wait, Lord, are you really saying no? Are you really? See, that's me. I'm the are you really guy. I'm not necessarily like the lepers. I was, sure, let's go. But it says that as they went, they were cleansed. There's a blessing in obedience to the Lord. I often tell the youth, you can never go wrong by following Jesus and everything that he has for you in your life, ever. I tell them all the time, you can do it, come back and find me 20 years later and tell me if it went bad. Now, on the other hand, you can go very wrong. I can go very wrong if we don't follow Jesus and everything that he has for us. See, there's a blessing in obedience to the Lord. And that obedience obviously brings submission. These guys call Jesus master. Therefore, I'm going to do what the master tells me to do if I'm going to call him my master. Make sense? Okay. Makes sense to me. So the 10 made a decision, and they clearly chose to obey. Now it says that they were cleansed. Verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice glorified God. That's where we get into our Thanksgiving message. One of them, when his pain and shame and days of isolation were over, when his sickness had ended, when he's on his way to the priest, it says that one of them came back. One. Instead of going to the priest, this guy turned around. Instead of getting ceremonially clean, legally settled, rejoined to society, he came back to Jesus. Maybe the other nine were thinking, man, after this, I can go see my family again. I can go hang out with my friends. No time to go back. This guy, we're going to learn about him a little bit more. He turned back. One of them did. Verse 16, and he fell down on his face and at his feet, at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And here we go. And he was a Samaritan. Remember, they were enemies. One of them came back to say thank you. And he was a Samaritan. Now, we know, again, as I said earlier, the Samaritans and Jews were enemies. In fact, you remember John 4, the woman at the well? Jesus asked for water, and he said, you, being a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan, for water? Think about the tension. Think about how they hated each other. But it is worth noting this. Now that we know that there was a Samaritan in the group, at least one, he's hanging out with Jewish people, isn't he? Isn't it interesting that when calamity or pain or tragedy strikes, we forget about our own pride and we now hang out with people that we wouldn't otherwise because we had this preconceived, like, oh, they voted that way. Well, I'll never hang out with them. They're from that state over on the West Coast? I'll never hang out with them. Oh, wait, we're both going through the same pain. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you believe. I just know you're going through the same pain that I'm going through. And I don't have time to be worried about insignificant, silly stuff. Because it is silly stuff. And it is insignificant in the greater. Does that make sense? I don't have to go into details. I think we're all getting it. But look what happens when calamity, when tragedy, when things, bad things happen. All of a sudden, we forget about all the barriers and walls and preconceived ideas and thoughts and anything that we feel and think like them. It's like, we're just humans. We're all hurting. He was hanging out with them. Notice how Jesus healed them, too, being a Jew. Bless you. Verse 17, so Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Now, notice how Jesus brings the attention to the fact that 9 did not come back. This tells us something. God cares about us giving him thanks. Right now, we have a 10% gratitude rate out of these 10 guys. 10% came back to say thank you. 90%, they're gone. And Jesus is like, wait a minute. Time out. There were 10 healed. Where are the other 9? Where'd they go? Were they not healed the same way that this guy was? This Samaritan? What happened to the 9? God cares about our giving of thanks to him. Psalm 92, 1 and 2 says this, it is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. The psalmist says it's good. It is good to give thanks to the Lord. 1 Chronicles 16, 34, I think it was David who said, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Now you may say, well, okay, what do I give thanks for? Well, God is the sustainer of all things. Colossians 1:17 says this, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. So what do you give God thanks for? For everything. Did you wake up this morning? Yeah, you did. Are you breathing? Is your heart pumping blood? You didn't get in a car to get here, did you? Oh, was the heater on last night? Is there food in your fridge? See, the list can go on and on and on. And I get convicted just talking about it. Seriously. Because we're quick, I'm quick to complain and to find reasons not to be thankful for. Is that because I forget how blessed we are? An old hymn that I often play in my car. I'm just giving you insight into what I listen to now. Is that, you know, praise to the Lord, the Almighty. And this is my line. Praise to the Lord who does prosper thy work and defend thee. Surely his goodness and mercy here daily attend thee. When I succeed at work, not very often, but when it does happen, this comes to mind. He's the one who prospers my work and defends me. When people gun for you and me, we have a defender. If somebody's looking out for us. Yeah, have you ever thought about that? But it's easy to forget. Verse 18, were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? Now, Jesus is making a point here to us. We are to give God the glory for what he's done for us. Now, Jesus is pointing out the 9. I'm pointing out the 9. But before we go too far and come too hard on the 9, let's think with me for a minute. How many people have been touched by the Lord? Perhaps healed by the Lord? Saved by the Lord? How many? Thousands, millions. I know people that come to God when they need something. And I've seen God bail them out. And then they're gone. But then you get the call. Oh, pray for me. Years later, oh, where you been? Now that's me. Hey, where you been? See, we can do the same thing. Oh, God, I'm going to be there. I'm going to do that. I'm going to serve. I'm going to show up every day, every Sunday, every Wednesday. At 5 o'clock, I'm going to be here. Yeah, thank you, God. Like the 9. From afar off, shouting, help. The Lord comes through. And off we go. Jesus points out, hey, this guy's a foreigner. He came back. He said, thank you. Let's be those who are thankful. Let's be those who turn back and take a Sunday morning on a November day, come back and say, Lord, thank you. Let's be those who go on record and say, Lord, thank you. I thank God for my kids every day, for their health. When they have whatever tantrum they throw, I'm thankful. I have kids. Does that make sense? See, you start putting everything into perspective. Now, I have learned in my own life, like I said earlier, that when I stop being thankful, it's because I'm complaining too much. I complain. Ask my wife. She'll be here second service. Ask Raul to complain. She'll be like, she'll roll her eyes back to the back. Oh, you don't even know. I do. But that's because I have forgotten how blessed I am. It happens to me often where I get rebuked by the Lord. It's like, stop whining. Look how blessed you are. Look around. I forget the sins God has forgiven me of. Therefore, I'm hard on people who sin. I forget the sins God has forgiven me of after I became a Christian. Therefore, I'm hard on people. Oh, look at them. Can't believe it. Wow. Oh, Raul, let me take you down memory lane. Oh, never mind. Yeah, you're a good guy. You're good. We're tight. You're so spiritual. I do that. And I think we're all laughing because we can do that too. I take credit for my success. I'm like, wait a minute, what? I did? No. And I fail to remember that everything that I have, everything that you are, everything that we are, that we possess, is all because of the Lord. No credit to be taken. Isn't James 1:17 say this? Every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. We got no rights to brag. Zero. None. Now, I'm going to share a story, which I almost didn't want to share it because it's kind of embarrassing, but I'll share it. A few years back, on a Thanksgiving day, my house was packed with people. Everybody was there. And there was a guy in that room who had the worst attitude any human being can ever have, who's not pleasant to be around, who's whining and barking and growling on Thanksgiving Day. That was me. And I remember as the afternoon is going, I'm just sitting there on my couch stewing. Now, if you ask me, Raul, why were you so angry? I don't know. I was just whining. Ugh. And everybody around me could tell, man, something's not right in here. You know when you're in a bad mood and the entire room is in a bad mood because you're in a bad mood? Okay, that was me. I was not spreading Jesus' love. I was spreading, ugh. And somehow, by God's grace, that afternoon, there as my family's chopping the turkey and everybody's preparing, the room is tense. You can cut the tension that I brought in. Something clicked. It's like, you're being a ding-dong. You need to apologize to everybody in this room right now because this is your house and make him feel welcome. What do you have to... It's very easy to complain. It's very easy to be prideful. We're going to talk about pride in a minute because this guy's put all their pride down, especially the Samaritan. Ask a Jew for healing. It's very easy to just fly out the handle and be unthankful. Oh, but I'll tell you what's hard. When you have to walk around the room in your own house to each adult person in there and apologize personally. Okay, I didn't have pumpkin pie that day. I had humble pie. And seconds and thirds. See, it's embarrassing. And I forgot. I forgot the house the Lord had given me, the kids the Lord had given me, my mom, my brother, my sister all there, my wife. I've forgotten all that in one afternoon on Thanksgiving Day because I forgot how blessed I was for those few hours, and they were misery. Oh, it was worse afterwards, but then everything got better because it's like, okay, everything is good now, but it was painful. It makes me sick just to think about it. I scratched that off my notes about 3 times. I'm like, on, off, on, off, on. Okay, Lord, it's on. Maybe that speaks to somebody. But it's true. Psalm 107:8, it says, "Oh, that man would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of man." Verse 19. "And he said to him, 'Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well.'" Now, "has made you well" there is "has saved you" in the literal translation. So this man was saved. Okay? This one foreigner. The one who returned was not only noticed by Jesus, but he was also saved. "Your faith has saved you." The Samaritan was saved. His heart was touched, his body was healed, his soul was saved. "Your faith has saved you." It's easy to point out a leper. It's easy to point out the one that came back. It's easy, see, from the side of salvation. It's easy. But we were all lepers one time, weren't we? We were numb to sin. We were slowly dying, headed for a place called hell. We were away from God. Before you were a Christian, if you are a Christian here this morning, remember when people invited you to church? You wanted to be far away from that. Remember that? It's like the guilt that kept you away from coming to Jesus. You know what I'm talking about? We were there. We were lepers. We were dying. We were numb. We smelled bad. Everything. Until the Master came into our world. And he called us as we just hid, and he healed us. See that song? "Called, I am healed." I'm like, huh, well, the Lord's putting something together here. We were touched by him. We were made whole. We were saved. Our story is the same of the lepers. We had an incurable disease called sin that only the Master, Jesus, could heal. How we are to be thankful to God. I'll give you one reason. I've given you enough, but I'll give you one more. One single reason to bust out these doors, jumping for joy, blasting worship music all the way home. One single reason. You ready? You're not going to hell. Think about it. That's it. That's all you need from here till eternity. If the Lord does not give me a single blessing past that, which he has, by the way, already, 21 years walking with him, that's all I need. That's enough to be thankful forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Ever. Now, to the lost, I don't know, maybe listening, watching online or here, I say this. Maybe you're here visiting family for Thanksgiving and you had to come to church. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, I got to go to church. It's Thanksgiving. It's three a year. Name them. Thanksgiving. Boom. Thanksgiving, Christmas, and Easter. I got to go with mom. Grandma invited me. We got to dress up too. To you, I say, if you find yourself in the place of a leper, numb, hurting, away, lost, dying, perhaps November 21st, 2021, today, is the day that will go in the record books as the day that you met your Master, that you were healed, not so much physically, but spiritually, from that sin disease that's eating away. Perhaps this will be the day that, like the Samaritan, you fall at his feet and Jesus says, "Your faith has saved you." Why not? You watching online, why not? There's a need out there for people. People are looking, they're searching, they're beating each other up, because they don't know what's going on. And the answer is Jesus. Perhaps you need Jesus even this morning. See, one thing the Samaritan did is that he had to swallow his pride. He was a Samaritan asking for a Jew for help. You know how long pride kept me away from God? Many years. All my teen years, pride kept me from coming. My pride kept me from coming to Jesus. Because I cared too much what people thought. I cared too much about my friends. I didn't want to be known as a Bible thumper, Bible carrying dude in my neighborhood. I didn't. Pride robbed me of years walking with Jesus. Not for the Samaritan. He swallowed his pride. He asked for a Jew for help. So maybe we need to swallow our pride today and say, Lord, I'm here. I'm done holding out to this death sentence that I have on. I'm tired of feeling guilty. I'm tired of knowing that I'm going the wrong way and I'm doing it on purpose because I'm too prideful. I'm done. See, Jesus told the lepers, go show yourself to the priest. The priest will examine. But Jesus is the great high priest. Come to the great high priest. The lepers were told, go to the priest. Yes, I'm telling you, I'm begging, I'm imploring you. If you don't know Jesus, come to the great high priest. The one that paid for your sins, that can cleanse you with his own blood. And you can be saved. The one that says in Isaiah 1:18, come, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, you know, I'll make them white as snow. I'm paraphrasing that rest. Because we will all face Jesus. We will all face God. And trust me, you don't want to face Jesus in your own righteousness. You want to face God in Jesus' righteousness, robed in his righteousness. You don't want to face him in your own, because our righteousness is as filthy rags. It's nothing there. Come to the great high priest. See, I was studying in this subject of Thanksgiving. You know, Thanksgiving doesn't stop when we go to heaven. It continues in heaven. What do you mean, Raul? Some new doctrine you're in. What's going on here? I'll just read to you. This is out of Revelation 7, 9 through 12. After these things, I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. And the angels stood around the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures, and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, here we go, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God when? Forever and ever. So think about it. We are always going to be thankful, even in heaven. When we get to heaven, and that multitude, every tribe, tongue, nation, and we're watching this whole thing unfold, you're going to be so thankful for all of eternity. Thanksgiving doesn't stop. Oh, I'm thankful. Thank you, Lord. I'm in heaven. Sweet. Over. No. You're going to be like so blown away. We're going to be so blown away. Wow. Salvation, honor, power. For Thanksgiving forever. Forever. If you don't know the Lord, you can be on that side. But you have to come to the great high priest. Let's pray. And Lord, I thank you for your word. However it speaks to each and every one of us here and also watching online, we thank you for the many, many blessings we daily enjoy. We thank you for health, and we thank you for life. We thank you for this church. We thank you for everyone in this church that serves you, for Pastor Bill and Becky, for Kendall, for Thomas, for Jesse, and Danielle, Lord, Teresa, and so many that form this, your body. Lord, I'm thankful for each and every one of them. I'm thankful for the people, the sheep of your pastor that are here. And I pray, Lord, you bless, Lord, them this season. I pray that our hearts will be those of gratitude towards you for all that you have done. You who prosper our work and defend us. Thank you, Lord. And with our eyes closed, our heads bowed, I have to ask, is there a leper perhaps here that says, I need healing from my sin issue. I need Jesus. I need to be saved. If that's you, I'm not going to have you come up here or anything. I just want you to raise your hand right where you're at. And I want to pray for you. That's all. Is there anyone in here that will make November 21st, 2021 the day that they can be forever thankful? Anyone? Well, Lord, these are indeed your people. And I thank you that we're saved in this place. Let your will be done in our lives. Guide us in all that we do today, this week, Lord, with family coming in, with emotions perhaps rising high, conversations. Lord, guide our tables. Lord, guide our conversation, our tables, that it will not be divisive, but it will unite families, Lord. I pray that the gospel will flow through each and every single one of our homes, in our tables, Lord, to our family, to our friends, to our neighbors that need you. I pray you bring a harvest out of this, and many will come to know you. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. All right, let's stand to our feet. Jesse is going to close us in. And after, if anybody needs prayer, we'll be here in the front to pray with you. Have a great Thanksgiving. The Lord bless you.